to K-Companion. I am Brittany.
And I'm Rachel.
And we are your hosts. We are a bi-weekly podcast made for fans of K-dramas and K-pop. Each week, we talk about our favorite K-drama actors, the latest K-dramas we're binging, and curating our K-pop playlists. We've watched over 110 K-dramas, so we'll tell you the latest K-content we are trying to keep up with and share recommendations for what we think you should watch next. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at @KCompanionPod for even more updates on what we are keeping up with. So what are we doing today?
Today will be a look into Hope on the Street. This docuseries has started to drop on Amazon Prime. The first two episodes are out now. And we'll go into some spoilers of the first two episodes today, but this is not a typical two-episode test because we will be continuing to watch it. So if you haven't watched it yet and don't want spoilers, pause now. But otherwise, feel free to join us for our chat today. So we'll let you know what we think of this docuseries and kind of share our thoughts about it because it's a new type of King content that we haven't watched yet. So the description for this docuseries reads, in 2024, J-Hope of BTS begins a new journey in his 12th year, returning to his dancer roots. Accompanied by his former instructor, the popping champion Boogaloo Kin, he explores the streets of Osaka, Seoul, Paris, New York, and Gwangju, meeting inspiring street dancers along the way. Follow J-Hope as he pursues a dream, connecting his past, present, and future. I think that's a pretty solid description. And so this follows J-Hope of BTS, and this is prior to his enlistment into the military. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like an interesting time for him because it feels like, especially in that first episode, like he's doing a lot of reflecting on his career and especially with dance, but it feels like a time of in between, almost like it's definitely different than anything we've seen him do before. This isn't like a concert documentary or anything.
Yeah.
It is a documentary about dance and J-Hope's kind of like development in that and also like what he's learned. So in that first episode, I really liked that it was like setting the stage. It was a little bit different of an introduction than we've seen previously with documentaries.
Right.
It's more like he's introducing that he tries these different types of dance throughout the rest of the episode. And so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I definitely, I like the fact that it's really harkening back to his, one of his greatest passions, which is dance. And it's very well known that J-Hope is like the main lead dancer in BTS. He's such a strong dancer, has such a strong presence. So it's really interesting to kind of hear more of the backstory, kind of where his instructors have come from, where, what he's been influenced by. So it's definitely kind of parsing it all out into this docuseries.
And a lot of different styles. Like, I would say that, I mean, BTS in general, they dance a lot of different styles, from contemporary to pop to hip-hop to really anything in between. And so it's really interesting to see how J-Hope kind of, like, breaks it down in his head, where he finds challenges still, which I'm like, I'm kind of thinking, okay, I'm going in going, he is the king of dance,
master,
right?
Like, of dance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, like, everybody is always still learning, and that's great, but he's definitely put in his 10,000 hours, so I just feel like, all right, he's mastered this, he should be good. But then you see kind of when he is talking with these people who have influenced him, and trainers, and, you know, these people he looks up to, you can see him start to waver a little bit. His confidence is shaken, and he says it. He says, like, oh, like, I was a little bit off my game. And I thought it was funny because I don't think J-Hope has ever taken anything lightly in his life. Like, anything he's done in his career or, like, personal life, like, everything we've seen up to this point, between the documentary about Lollapalooza, that headline show, and everything we've seen him do with BTS, I just think he's so serious about everything. And so when he, I think it was in, like, that second episode, he had said, like, oh, I need to not think of this so lightly. And I'm like, in what way?
I think it's also intimidating, too, when you have these people who have really made a name for themselves in dance, very much touchstones for the dance community, and he's like, okay, I'm going to have you be a part of this documentary with me and talking about the different styles of dance and showing me what you can do and dancing together. Like, it's not just him dancing with the other BTS kids. It's, and I say kids.
Kids.
members, but it's him really holding his own and, you know, showing his versatility as well.
And it's it's really done in a way where you can see his creativity come through. Like, it's, there are these moments where it's not just him talking to the camera or like reflecting on training with these other dancers, but it's more, it's him just vibing out. The whole docuseries so far, the first two episodes, it's a vibe. It is him just dancing through the streets. Like, it is definitely that, like, getting back to creative roots. This is where he lives. I mean, this is what he does. So it's very cool to see him just kind of be able to let go in that way and not orchestrate every single thing.
Right.
I mean, obviously it is orchestrated to an extent, but like him freestyling and all of that just feels very fun, and the flow is nice. And I also think just the style of what they're wearing when they dance is so different than what we usually see. Like, I mean, when you're dancing on stage, and I love the throwback videos of either their dance practices in the big hit Now Hybe studio rooms, and then, you know, their performances on stage as BTS, like, those are all very different. And then it's, but it's so interesting to see, like, back then, 2015, 16 through 18, you know, to now where it's just him and he's just obviously still so talented and doing all these things, but just a different level of intricacies in how he approaches dance now, which is very cool. Because it's not, I mean, so many of those behind the scenes videos that we would see of them practicing their dances and all of that as BTS, it's J-Hope leading everybody.
Yeah.
And now it's just him with these people, which I thought was cool, because then he was kind of put into a different spot of, I'm the learner.
Right.
But also very collaborative.
And very, very talented, obviously.
In the first two episodes, in that second episode, they go to Osaka. And that's pretty cool. We get to see them kind of like dance in the street, which that part is unnerving, right? Anytime you're recording things and people are walking around, and it's kind of weird.
It's a wild card, potentially.
But then also there's all this pressure of, okay, you're dance, like, J-Hope is dancing with this very well-known champion, right? And so that kind of adds a different level of pressure, but I thought it was cool. The whole thing is very chill.
Yeah, and it's something where even as we're talking about it, I mean, it's dance. There are, we can't spoil that for you.
Right.
So it is definitely worth watching.
It's an interesting watch too. Like, it, I don't know, it's different than what I thought it would be. And it's also, it feels very like freeing to see J-Hope in that position of, no, this is like what I do and this is what I know, but also like this is how I'm still challenged by it. And so it is cool to see, but it's definitely a styled shoot of a docuseries that makes it very interesting to watch, because it's not just an interview, it's not just like, you know, watching him live day to day. He's going out and doing these things and practicing and learning new dances and learning new styles
and really like maintaining these friendships and these, you know, just these experiences with these folks.
Yeah. So it's really great.
And we get music from,
we
from
do.
This as well. So in the second episode features the song I Wonder, which is a song by J-Hope, which features JK of BTS. So there are others, I know we've gone over it before as well, that there'll be like a little, there'll be new songs for each episode
for
him, which is exciting too.
And he's already dropped his Hope on the Street Volume 1. I don't know if it's a mixtape. It's
EP,
not like an album EP. I don't know. Maybe it's an album. But that is available to stream on Spotify. It's an EP, so it's like several songs, but yes. So if you, like, I'm kind of waiting until we hear everything, all of the songs in the docuseries before going into listening to it, but so that's exciting. It's something we can look forward to, but you can tell that J-Hope had fun shooting this. Like, it was also challenging and stressful, but for the most part that he had fun. Do you miss BTS more now that we watched that?
I do miss it. It does. The thing is, when they were showing those clips of, you know, back in 2013 to, like, you know, through 2018, 2020, all that, and all of those clips with them together, it's like, ah, it's definitely, it feels like a different era, because it was.
Yeah.
A little bit. And so.
Yeah. Before they really, like, it's really before Dynamite. Like, I felt like Dynamite changed things so much. Yeah. Because now they were like really big in the States, whereas before with like Boy With Love and that sort of thing, they hit SNL. Yeah. Like, I don't know, it was just like that was a different vibe versus mm-hmm. like the post Dynamite Butter group.
Yeah, it was like before the Love Yourself, or like kind of right after Love Yourself Her came out, that I started, like I recognized them and really got into it. In which case, you know, there's such growth between those albums and into like Map of the Soul and all of that. So,
but kind of at the center of all of that is dance, which is so, it's so cool as well how J-Hope and his like learning curve in dance influenced the other members. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Suga was never like, yeah, dance is my thing, you know, but like
he embraced it,
kind of had to, but I also think like his connection with J-Hope and especially how J-Hope approaches how he teaches dance is so mm-hmm. different. And J-Hope gets all of that from these folks who he's inspired by and has worked with since he was very young. Yeah. So just a really cool kind of full circle moment to see that in the docuseries of, you know, I like the dinner scene. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they go out to dinner and the person he's with, one of these well-known dancers, you know, he's like, no, I said yes to this because like you said, hey, I want to do this thing.
Right.
Do you want to do it with me? And he's like, not J-Hope of BTS.
Right.
It was you. So like that is super nice. And I also think that was like eye-opening for J-Hope, because I think especially at that point, mm-hmm. after making it really big in the States, having all this like fandom and all of that, and then feeling like you're letting down fans because you have to go into the military, but also like fans are interacting different now on certain websites where they do live streams. And so I think that was like a, oh, okay, you don't just want to help me out because I'm J-Hope of BTS. It's like really nice to hear
really
that.
Getting back to like who he is at his core, which is really important.
Right. And like the passion comes through on both sides, which is very cool. So anyways, I think that was great.
Yeah. I'm excited for the next cities that they go to, New York, and they've showed a few clips in the first episode was kind of like an overall of what to kind of expect with the
Which
series.
Is interesting, and I like that they did that, but it was an interesting introduction to it, because it was kind of like, here's what you can expect. It's almost like a trailer.
Yeah.
And like a 25-minute trailer.
Clips of, you know, different places and, you know, different variations of dance that he does, and it's very much almost coming from the perspective of, okay, we did this, let's sit down with you and talk about it, but we're also going to show these clips.
Yeah, and it's interesting to also see how it all comes together, because you get to see these little snippets, but then you really get to see how it comes apart. Yeah. So I liked it. I'm excited to keep watching it, and that is our look into Hope on the Street.
Yeah.
So what did you watch last night?
I am still making my way through my Mister, and I will say, I have been typically watching this like when I get up before going to work, just like,
oh my goodness.
It's nice because it gets my brain moving a little bit, but not in like a fast-paced way.
No, because it's not fast-paced.
No, but it's been enjoyable so far, and there are definitely some twists and turns coming up.
Nice. So I have been making my way through Sky Castle. I'm almost done.
Yeah.
It's so good. The drama never stops. And also, as a hint for our next episode, we'll be doing a 2-episode test of Killer Paradox. So if you haven't watched it yet, go check out the first 2 episodes on Netflix before our next episode.
Yeah.
So I have done my 2-episode test of it.
I have not yet.
So I'm excited to chat about it.
Yeah.
And we finished Dr. Slump and Soundtrack 2.
Yes.
Which, fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, overall, Soundtrack 2 did not love the ending.
No.
Okay? Could have.
No, it
could have figured it out.
A little silly.
Seemed a little okay, so that happened.
As well.
And nothing actually changed at all. So, okay. But Dr. Slump is super, super solid. Really happy with that one. Really excited to see what Park Jin-hee and Park Young-sik have going on next.
Yeah.
And then also, so last week, Queen of Tears failed our 2-episode test.
Yes.
Absolutely failed. This week, we found out that a certain someone, a Mr. Song Joong-ki, made a cameo. They're on like episode 8
yeah,
now, okay?
It's like 7 or 8, right?
Yeah, it's 8.
Oh, God.
So How are we feeling? Do we feel
FOMO? No, no, you know what? I don't feel FOMO. I'm glad. I am a little like, how many other cameos are they gonna have that are exciting?
Well, you know, it's him and all of his friends.
No, I know.
He's just bringing in more of his friends. You know?
Well, yeah. We have to have Song Joong-ki back in so they can have the, like, Arth doll, Descendants of the Sun.
Right. Crossover.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So I have honestly, I have a little bit of FOMO, but.
I don't think a cameo is enough to drag me back in.
No, but I'm so curious. Like, are people liking it? Is it good?
I feel like people are liking it.
But the episodes are so long.
And we weren't.
And I got bored.
Enthralled the first two episodes.
You definitely weren't.
No, I was not.
Yeah. So I think I'm still happy with our decision.
Yes, no, I'm.
But I have a little bit of FOMO.
I don't have regrets about it.
No.
Yet.
No. On to bigger and better things.
Yes.
Okay. Speaking of bigger and better things, our playlist pick of the week. What do we have?
A Thousand Years by Tableau featuring Jay Sean. So this Tableau has been hinting at least at a Mandarin rapping situation for a little bit now.
He has.
And this is an English and Mandarin song.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
And it came with a music video.
And it came with a music video.
But
yeah. So
we're a big fan of Tableau. So that is our playlist pick of the week.
Yeah, definitely worth a watch and a listen.
Next up, we have a shout out to our listener of the week. We are shouting out our listener of the week, Chris.
Yeah.
And to celebrate our listener of the week, enjoy the next minute of bloopers from last week's episode. Last week was a little bit of a struggle bus.
Yes.
Yep. In case you were curious. Which is why we didn't include our shout out last week, because we were just trying to make it through. So here are some bloopers from last week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
But now is a four member group.
Yeah. A four member group.
Four member group.
Kim So-hyun plays Hyun-wo, and we've seen him before in It's Okay to Not Be Okay. He's been in other dramas as well. Sorry.
Can you say Hyun-wo?
Hyun-wo. Yep. What did I say?
Hyun-wo.
Oh, sad.
All right. Okay. In addition, we've also seen Kwak.
No.
Oh, no!
You cut this.
No. Is it Kwak?
I think it is.
Kwak Do-young. No, that's not his word. No. Okay. Oh, God. Oh, editing. Oh, God. Kwak Dong-yeon. Kwak Dong-yeon. Kwak Dong. Okay. We'll catch you next week. Sorry. We'll catch you next time. And there you have it.
Names are hard.
Names are hard. Okay. First of all, we don't speak this language. We sort of speak a little bit. We don't speak names. Okay.
No.
And unfair that was put on me yet again. Okay. In our 100th episode, go and find it. It's this season's episode 5.
Mm.
In our 100th episode, you can hear me absolutely butcher some names in those bloopers that we included in there. And why? I ask, why is it me?
Why is it me always? I'm not sure. Sometimes you get the name right, but it's the wrong person you're talking about.
Oh. Do not.
Extraordinary Tony Woo.
Okay. All right. I made the mistake of mistaking Rowoon for Kang Tae-ho. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I did have to fix that in post. Re-record myself saying Kang Tae-ho instead of Rowoon. Gosh, dang it.
It's hard. It's hard to keep up with it all. It really is.
Like, literally, why is it such a struggle? So that's great. Anyways, any final thoughts for our episode today?
No. No final thoughts, I don't think.
No final thoughts. So, that's all we have for today. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at KCompanionPod to keep up with all the things that we have going on. Have a great day, night, and week. We'll catch you next time.